Three Dog Thursday on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network of shows is presented by WynnBET. Get started today and you'll get a risk-free bet up to $500. Terms and conditions apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com and download the app today. We're also brought to you in part by BetQL. Your bracket may bust, but your bankroll never has to with BetQL. Use the promo code MARCH30 for 30% off the entire year of BetQL. That's BetQL, promo code MARCH30. And we're brought to you by Odds Crowd. Are you the best college hoop bettor in the country? Odds Crowd is challenging you to prove it with their free March Madness Fantasy Betting Contest with over $8,000 in cash prizes. Download their app today, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. We're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is your home to free daily video picks from the SGPN. It's like YouTube for sports gambling, and make sure that you subscribe to our profile at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. We're also brought to you in part by Better Edge. Better Edge is a stock exchange for sports bets, allowing you to buy and sell betting positions like the stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG, and it's legal in 40 states. Sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP. And we're also brought to you in part by PicksWise. Follow the PicksWise Capper Contest at PicksWise.com for free picks and analysis throughout the tournament from the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and more. See which expert is trending hot as they battle it out for a winner-take-all $10,000 prize. It's over at PicksWise.com.
Football fans, it's time to go on the record for this week's matchups in pro and college football with just one catch. We're only interested in underdogs. Who can keep it close, if not pull the outright upset? Time to find out. It's Three Dog Thursday. Now here's your host, TJ Reed.
Indeed, indeed. We are back in it here on the only digital radio show that loves to cover those underdogs, those upsets. And man, oh man, did we have a ton of them in the NCAA tournament. I am merely the somewhat capable host, did not have nearly enough of the upset picks correct in my bracket, although I had a couple here and there. Oh my gosh, the right side of the bracket is just a massacre, just like most people. But anyway, welcome in. We're going to talk a lot about the NCAA tournament. That is going to dominate our conversation. Senior handicapper, Vegas insider, MajorWager.com, Brian Edwards here in just a moment. Our YouTube roundtable in the middle has a couple of distinguished gentlemen. Jonathan Grella, my PR chops buddy, former Tampa Bay Buccaneers PR guy, former PR executive with a couple of different politicians and the U.S. travel agency, now runs his own PR shop. I'm not got him here talking PR or politics. I've got him talking Villanova basketball because he's a Villanova grad. And lo and behold, Villanova in the Sweet 16. So Jonathan Grella on the YouTube roundtable. Also, George Offman will be here from Chicago. George, obviously a longtime sports radio reporter in Chicago, over 40 years in the business. And lo and behold, Loyola of Chicago looking good right in his market. We'll talk with George and Jonathan in the middle segment. Then Brian back in our final segment with some underdog predictions that are there. Reminder, however you found the show, social media link through our partners at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, their network of shows. Subscribe to this audio podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Subscribe. It comes automatically to you on Thursday. And obviously, in this case, we've got lots of great advice, takes, et cetera, because the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight do not play out until starting Saturday and Sunday. So we stay relevant all the way through the weekend. But subscribe, and the show comes automatically to you on Thursdays. And again, find the YouTube roundtable at Three Dog Thursday. All of that is done. Now let's get to my man, Brian Edwards. Call him in here as part of Three Dog Thursday from MajorWager.com and Vegas Insider. Happy NCAA tournament with 5 days and 52 games in the books. And we saw a lot of guys, the little guys with the large number in front of their name, pull off upsets. Welcome in, and this is March. This is the time of the year. This is the mayhem of March where we expect the upsets, and we got them. Welcome in, my friend.
Thanks for having me, TJ. Yeah, it was a wild first weekend. I would say that Oral Roberts, the 15 seed, is probably the biggest story. But then right behind it, you've got the Pac-12 with a 9-1 record. Four teams in the Sweet 16 that are seeded number 6, number 7, number 11, and number 12. And then next, I would say you've got the disaster that has been this tournament for the Big Ten. Only one of 9 are left. And I mean, we're talking another one seed gone. Two seeds, right?
Ohio State and Iowa. Yep.
Purdue punted by the Mean Green, 13th seeded North Texas. And then after that, you know, I'll make 2 points. One, if you add together all of the seed numbers, in other words, Oral Roberts would count for 15. Baylor and Gonzaga would only count one. The 16 teams combined, adding all their seeds together, is a record 94, most ever. The previous high was in 86, and it was 89. So it's obliterated that. And then I would say there's the Arkansas Razorbacks, who are haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 1996. And I know you were, you know, in Memphis in the early 90s, you know, Nolan had that thing rolling as good as anybody in America. It would be like if one of the blue bloods right now, a North Carolina or Duke, if we would say they're not going to the Sweet 16 again 25 years from now. So let's do that math. What 2046? I would tell you, Duke is not going to the Sweet 16 again until 2046. You'd slap me. I mean, that's how bad this drought has been for Arkansas, but it's over. You know, they were calling the Hogs late Sunday night.
Well, and it was quite a battle for them in that matchup with Texas Tech. But there were a lot of great games and a lot of great finishes. Oral Roberts obviously knocking Ohio State out in an overtime game. In that one, the great finish for Abilene Christian against Texas, an all-timer as a 14 seed to beat the brand, one of the top brands in all of college sports, the Texas Longhorns, in that game. And on down the list, whether you're talking about Ohio University being able to pull an upset or Loyola Chicago beating a one seed in Illinois. That's an all-timer for those kids. And a couple of the guys on that team are from the Final Four team, including Krutwig, the big center that's been such a contributor. You're talking about all-time stuff, though. North Texas beating Purdue, like you mentioned, and on. It's just fun to watch all of these upsets. All right, so let's dive into a couple of things. We all acknowledge that none of us really gave the Pac-12 its due. That's acknowledged. That's understood. Why have they been so good as a whole in the first weekend of this tournament? Hone in on a thing or two, Brian Edwards.
Well, I would say USC's rim protection. They've got multiple shot blockers. Oregon State's just hot as a firecracker. Oregon did not have Will Richardson until early February. So they've been a different team with him. And so they were grossly, we call it overseeded or underseeded?
Probably in their case, underseeded, yes.
Yeah, they were literally before the tournament started, I was saying to myself, I'm like, you can make the argument Oregon is the second best team in this region because I didn't trust Iowa. And I think, well, we'll see how they play this week, but I think it's going to turn out that way. Gonzaga's had a very easy path, obviously, so far. They may make it look easy again this week.
All right. And again, worth noting when we talk about it later on, Oregon did not play the opening game with VCU. So that's the only game that did not play out of 52 games. Again, for all the naysayers, the fearmongers, the hystericals that you couldn't do this and couldn't pull it off, kudos to the schools, first and foremost. And the protocols they put in place, coaching staffs, training staffs, players, that we played again 51 of the 52 games and got the tournament off and rolling. And now you're in a much better place because now you have, 42 teams that are gone, that are out of the mix. here, or what? Yeah, 52 teams that are gone out of the mix. So it will be easier, and they still may have a problem. But if they do, they have extra days to play with. Everybody's in Indianapolis, a little more manageable if that's what they choose to do. So again, kudos to the NCAA and everybody that followed through with this, that we got the first weekend off the ground with only that miss. But my point is, Oregon didn't play a first game, and then they came out just guns a-blazing on the Monday afternoon against Iowa and took them apart in their second game. And it will be interesting later on when we talk about this. They only played USC one time the entire regular season and didn't play them in the Pac-12 tournament. So I don't know how much we really learned from Oregon-USC in the one matchup. We just have to get used to this. Back to Oregon State. They've got size. They've got shooters, two or three of them from the outside. I've said this other places. I'll say it here, though. When they won the Pac-12 tournament, we were looking at that as a slight, weren't we? And we were saying, oh, look at the Pac-12. They let Oregon State come in and win the tournament. Now it looks like, man, maybe Oregon State is really good, right? I mean, that's obviously part of it.
I mean, I thought Oklahoma State was the team that was, you know, hot as a absolute firecracker. And I mean, their only, you know, recent losses were at Baylor and then against Texas in a tight game in which Texas had kind of got a free hall pass to the finals with I think it was Kansas that had to back out. But yeah, man, I mean, here I got some good numbers for Oregon State just to explain how hot they are. All right. First, they've won five in a row, both straight up and against the spread, and they've won three of those by double-digit margins. All five of those teams that they've beaten were NCAA tournament teams. Oregon, Tennessee, Oklahoma State, UCLA, and Colorado. And if we go back further, the Beavers have won nine of their last 11 games and are on a spectacular 17-3-1 against the spread roll in their last 21 games. Now, as an underdog, 11-1 against the spread with eight outright wins in its last 12. And Oregon State is 15-3 against the spread with 11 outright wins in their last 18 as a dog. Those are just pretty incredible numbers right there.
Keep that in mind with Loyola Chicago being favored, and that's the first game out of the box on Saturday, depending on when you're hearing us in that bracket in a 12. How about that? A 12 versus 8 for a shot in the Elite Eight for that matchup to follow it away a little bit later on. You said a couple of other things, too, about the Big Ten and the shortcomings. Some have said whether it is the fact that the opponents were underseeded, Loyola Chicago being in the way of Illinois. I know I had Tim Brando on another show on my college basketball Coast to Coast show, and he was ranting about the underseeding and how is Loyola in the way for the round of 32 game. Some are saying that. Others are saying maybe the Big Ten took too much out of itself with the grind at the end of the regular season and making some games up and the tournament. Here's a word for you: excuses. Win your games. Ohio State has so much more resources than Oral Roberts, it's ridiculous. Win the game. Purdue has so much more resources than North Texas. Win, and it's in Indianapolis, an hour from their campus. Win the game. Illinois, the same thing with Loyola Chicago. Illinois' budget is 10 times what Loyola Chicago's budget is. Illinois has two or three NBA caliber players on their team, or should, virtually every year, every cycle. Win the game. Stop making excuses about this stuff. I'm off my soapbox. You go ahead.
No, I agree totally. Yeah, let's don't make excuses for the Big Ten. They got their asses beat last week. That's all there is to it, plain and simple.
And how about the fact that at the very end, you had Maryland playing Alabama, flying the flag as the last chance for a Big Ten team besides Michigan to get in, Maryland. And by the same token, Syracuse was like the last hope for the ACC to get through. Syracuse, known as a Big East power for like 35 years, but now they're flying the flag for the ACC. It truly is an upside down 2021. All right, one more here. You've kind of been looking, and this is still good value, good bargain, at teams and their odds to win it all with four games to go, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, Championship. Give me a team maybe or two that stands out as a pricey buy as an underdog to win the whole thing right now.
Well, My only ticket that I have remaining from the regular season is my Alabama 40-1. They're now at 10-1. I would say the most attractive are probably, and look, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to buy, but FSU at 25-1. Look, they haven't been to Final Four since 72. Everybody knows I'm a Gator. I'm not buying it, but I could see you or any other better feeling attracted to that. Syracuse at 50-1, man. Buddy Boeheim is man, he is so flipping hot. In fact, this is how hot he is. I got the stats right here. He is 20. Oh, gosh. I'm trying to find it as I scroll down here, TJ. Oh, yeah.
Okay, it's a lot. It's a lot.
The last four games, 24 of 43 from three-point land. That's 55.8%. He scored 25, 30, 31, and 27. I like Gerard, the point guard. You know, if you can't hit threes, that zone defense can kind of eat you up in the tournament if you have an off night from the perimeter. So I would say Syracuse at 50-1 is probably the one I would maybe think about taking a shot with.
Yeah, and again, you're not saying bet the mortgage, bet the car payment on it, but it might be a fun one.
Itty-bitty taste. Here.
Little itty-bitty taste on that one. And one interesting one, and we'll credit Darren Ravel, the business sports business reporter that's been previously with ESPN, CNBC, et cetera. He's now part of the Action Network. He tweeted about someone that has a ticket. He did this earlier this week as we're taping Three Dog Thursday. Someone has a ticket from November, Brian, and help me here, that spent, what, $50? On that ticket for Loyola of Chicago to win the national championship. This was in November and got them at 5,000-1. Stands to win $250,000 on a $50 bet. Now, I realize you've got four more steps to go before that's reality, but how much more attractive is that when you're facing Oregon State in game number one? And if you defeat Oregon State in the matchup for the bracket, Loyola Chicago would now be vying for a Final Four spot out of their regional and have a chance to be back in there for the first time in what, three seasons. That those odds would get even smaller and dwindle even more here if it were to come to fruition.
Yeah, quarter milli. That sounds good. Now they are at 18-1 now, no longer 5,000-1. I know you pointed out to me that up at Prop Swap, he's trying to sell it for 14 grand, which I don't blame him. you know, in the meantime, he should obviously bet Oregon State plus 7. He should bet them on the money line, and he should buy Oregon State's ticket, which is 80-1. Wow. So that's what I would advise that guy to go do right now.
Or you love this, or just let it ride, because again, Loyola is favored in that game. And after it's over, if they've won, then obviously there's only three steps to win the national championship. And that price on the Prop Swap app where you can buy the ticket, buy this guy's ticket, that price is going to double. He's going to ask for 28 grand. He might ask for 40 grand. I don't know on the metrics how that works.
Sure.
But they only got three steps at that point.
Well, he's only got 50 invested, though, so he should be putting a grand or two at least on Oregon State plus the points. Because, hey, yeah, he can maybe win that and Loyola still be alive. And then if they lose outright, you're holding Oregon State at 80-1. Now that's
could
not
you imagine Loyola Chicago gets the win, and let's say Syracuse gets the upset of Houston, and Loyola Chicago's path from the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight is a 12 and an 11 to get in the Final Four. And we covered this a week ago. You were very much looking at this team and saying, watch out for this team. We either covered it last week or 2 weeks ago, because that's where they beat Miami in the 6-11 game. They then beat Tennessee as the 3 seed. They then beat Nevada right as the 10 seed, who had beaten Cincinnati. This is on their previous Final Four run.
That was a thriller.
And then they beat Kansas State, who was like an 8 or a 9, right? That had beaten Kentucky. So they didn't exactly beat the murderer's row other than Tennessee. Here we are, fast forward to 2021, and Loyola Chicago's path could be Georgia Tech, Illinois, yes, as the one seed, but then Oregon State and maybe Syracuse to get to the Final Four. You talk about an incredible path for an underdog.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking the second weekend. Oregon State was not going to make the tournament unless they got the Pac-12's automatic bid. And the Cuse was a complete bubble team all year, really hardly won outside of the Carrier Dome, but only lost once at the Carrier Dome.
And imagine, again, if Oregon State gets the win and it's Syracuse, that's a 12 against an 11 for a spot in the Final Four. If that would happen, both of them kind of clad in orange, the Beavers and the Syracuse Orange. All right, Brian, so much to get to. Hang in there after our YouTube roundtable with our guests coming up. You're going to come back with underdog picks and predictions. Stand by for that. Again, Jonathan Grella and George Offman joining me momentarily on our YouTube roundtable. Brian back later in the program with Sweet 16 underdog pickage coming here on the show. But first, let's tell you about our friends at WynnBET, the college hoops narrowing down to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, and headed to the Final Four. And WynnBET is live, bringing you all the action of real sports betting and online casino play produced by Wynn Las Vegas. Get in on all your favorite teams, the Cinderella stories, the tournament upsets still to come, all with WynnBET. Don't miss out on the madness. Generous promos, odds, parlays, they're all happening right now at WynnBET.com. Get started today, and you'll receive a special offer of up to $500 risk-free. Terms and conditions do apply. Get the details at WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com, and download the app. And you're going to hear Brian Edwards and I talking more about those WynnBET lines, including the very intriguing Oregon State 7-point underdog line with Loyola of Chicago. I also am taking a strong look at the WynnBET line of Oregon, another one from the Pacific Northwest, getting the 2.5 on the WynnBET line with USC. Check out all of those lines at WynnBET.com. And we're brought to you in part by BetQL. If you're looking to get an edge and make smarter bets during March Madness, well, BetQL's algorithm scan thousands of data points across every game and find the best bets. Easily find the most profitable bet based on their top betting trends. If your bracket is busted, but you still have some bankroll, it doesn't have to bust as well. Just head to BetQL.com and start today. Go to the App Store or the Google Play Store and download BetQL to bet smarter, not harder. And use our promo code MARCH30 for 30% off of BetQL for the year. That's BetQL.com. The promo code is MARCH30 with BetQL. We are also brought to you by PicksWise.com. It's helmed by a team of trend-watching, data-devouring, sports-fanatic wise guys who are giving you the who, the how, and the why behind every prediction on every game, every day, in every sport. And guess what? It's all for free. And PicksWise has the capper contest to follow with the likes of John Rothstein, Rashad Phillips, Jeff Nadeau, and six other experts all competing for 10 grand in a winner-takes-all prize. You can follow all the action and the free picks and analysis every day for the big dance by visiting PicksWise.com/March Madness. That's PicksWise.com/March Madness. And we're brought to you in part by BetterThan.Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what degens only care about, sports betting. BetterThan.Vegas is running a free bracket-style capper contest with a chance to win $5,500. Just go to BetterThan.Vegas and don't forget to let them know that SGP sent you. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV also and subscribe to the Better Than Vegas, BetterThan.Vegas page. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV for BetterThan.Vegas. And we're brought to you in part by Odds Crowd, and hopefully you entered the Odds Crowd March Madness contest for your chance to win $8,000, as Odds Crowd has plenty of free contests, including a $500 weekly contest and a $2,000 season-long MLB contest. And Odds Crowd isn't just fantasy betting contest, it's a social app built just for sports bettors. It's free to download. You can live group chat with other bettors, track your bets, set up private betting contests, and more with your buddies. Just download the app for free. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/odds to find out more about Odds Crowd. We're also brought to you in part by Better Edge, the stock exchange for sports bets that allows you to buy and sell betting positions live like the stock market. And the best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG since you're buying positions from other sports bettors and there is no house. You can play for money in 40 states and they're doing weekly college basketball contests right now. We're talking tons of hoops from here on out here on Three Dog Thursday. And on Wednesday and Saturday, pay $10 to enter and each user starts with a balance of $1,000 in edge coins to wager on the games. The player with the highest earnings takes the entire pool of entry fees. It's like a battle royal, winner take all. Find the link under the competitions tab to get in for just $10. Sign up today at betteredge.com. Use our promo code SGP. Get that free $10 bet as well. That's BETTOREDGE.com. Promo code SGP.
Dogs are barking. Who will get it done this week? Three Dog Thursday now continues. Here again is TJ Reeves.
As Three Dog Thursday does continue, time for the video roundtable, and I've got smiling faces with me. If you're only hearing us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, etc., come see what we look like, as I like to say, on the YouTube video roundtable. Just search under YouTube, Three Dog Thursday. Come find us. Lots to discuss, and I enlist the help from Washington, D.C. By way of Villanova University, still very much alive in the NCAA tournament, my man Jonathan Grella, who I got to know as PR director for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and we both survived. We both have survived and thrived. Brother Grella, happy March Madness. Good to see you, my friend.
Great to be with you, Teach.
It is always good to get the knowledge, and I love the supernova stuff and everything there in the background. Also with me, I'm not sure if this is Illinois orange, if this is a little Chicago Bears tinge in honor of George Halas. I'm not sure what, but from Chicago, here he is, George Offman, who does a fantastic job with a brand new podcast, longtime Chicago radio reporter, et cetera. Brother Hoffman, good to have you on the show.
This is construction worker orange.
Don't get run over as the crossing guard orange, yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, gotta be careful.
could be both of those. All right, guys, let's get right into it. In fact, you know what, I will go to George first. I will come back to you first because they are the talk of the town. There is no doubt, as I share my screen for the YouTube audience right here, there they are, the Loyola Chicago Ramblers, and the Sweet 16 will actually lead things off on Saturday of the four games before they play four more on Sunday. They will play Oregon State for a chance to be in the Elite Eight. George, you and I have been talking off the air that this matchup with Illinois was being pointed to as soon as it came out. The Ramblers go on to win. They're alive. Illinois is not. Give me some thoughts in that town in the Windy City about Loyola.
Well, first of all, it was a bad matchup, and it was a TV-made matchup simply because Loyola was poorly seeded. They really should have been a 7 or a 6 seed, and a lot of people were upset about that. Bottom line is a lot of people also understood they're an extremely well-coached team. That said, let's face it, the way Illinois was playing, not only did they deserve a number one seed, they deserved a lot of people thinking they could win it all. They were playing great basketball, not good, great. And what happens? They're taken out of the game from the get-go. And this is one of those games where you credit the coach. This is a coach's win. And Porter Moser really pantsed Brad Underwood in ways you can't even comprehend. And that's why Porter Moser's stock continues to rise. And when you take a look at what's happening in this NCAA tournament, they could win. They actually could win.
Yeah, it's wide open in 2021. And George and I were joking for Jonathan and the audience that Porter Moser's agent was lighting up a cigar after the Georgia Tech game. I said to George, think about the millions more that he's going to make if he can beat Illinois. And he did. Depending on wherever he is next year, even at Loyola, he'll be making more money. Jonathan Grella, my friend, I share the screen again here because I thought Villanova was like damaged goods and they were going to be done and everybody in their bracket had Winthrop beating your team. But lo and behold, we see on the screen on the YouTube roundtable, Sweet 16 has Nova Nation, and Let's March Nova right back in. All is right with the world in March because Nova's still very much alive. Tell me more about your wounded team with no Colin Gillespie still very much in the picture in the NCAA tournament 2021.
This has been one heck of a year, TJ. I got to say that this team was primed to make some noise last March. Of course, that didn't happen, and Sadiq Bey left for the NBA. But we still felt good about this year, got as high as number two in the polls this season. And then Colin got hurt, and he's the heart and soul of the team, the point guard, the leader, the senior guard that everybody wants in March. And we've had to pick up the pieces. So talk about trial by fire. The very short rotation that Jay Wright likes to employ has now had to expand quite a bit. And we have former March hero Ryan Archie Diacono, who lives in Chicago. His little brother, Chris, is now went from getting garbage time, if that, to being our starting point guard in March Madness, taking zero shots in this first game and then nailing a couple of very important threes in the last game versus North Texas. So, Nova's feeling good. The only tough part we've got to figure out is how to beat maybe the best team in the country in Baylor this weekend.
Will not be easy on that. More on that in just a second. But Jonathan, again, Villanova's pedigree. You and I have been around each other at Final Fours. I unfortunately will not get the chance to be there due to various factors, a lot of it having to do with the guidelines and so few media being allowed in and around the bubble that the NCAA has set up. But you and I have been around these Final Fours where Villanova has won it. Those two were in Texas, in Houston, and in San Antonio where your team has won it. And there's something to be said for Jay Wright being able to X and O and get it done this time of year, correct?
Hey, Jay Wright, as young and handsome as he looks, and he looks younger than me, but even though he's older, has been at Nova for 20 years now, amazingly. His predecessor, who was there when I was in school, Steve Lapis, who's now a broadcaster. And Jay obviously has set himself up with a Hall of Fame career. Hopefully he gets in. This time I would expect he will. If not him, then who? But a really amazing blue blood program that we always thought Nova could be, with the great academics and the proximity to big cities in the Northeast like Philly and New York and such. The salad days of Villanova basketball are here, and I'm here for it. Really, really loving it. Really loving this team. And I got to say the culture, what they're all about, the kinds of guys they recruit and attract and how he gets these really, really good players to buy into his system, to be unselfish and to play defense. Kudos to Jay Wright. I understand why NBA teams want him and other college programs want him, but he's ours.
Love that. That's the voice of Jonathan Grella. You find him at Jonathan Grella on Twitter and JAG Public Affairs. More on that in a few moments. We've got his podcast that we'll plug away. George Offman is also here, just O-F-M-A-N. George is a Chicago sports reporting and radio legend in that town with over 40 years in that town. Here's the trivia question again. I joke with Jonathan all the time. George, the same thing. And for the audience, now Rick Pitino rejoined the fray. He was no longer active in college basketball when this was going on, but now he's back at Iona. There are only four active coaches: Mike Krzyzewski, Roy Williams, Rick Pitino, and Jay Wright that have multiple national championships. When you start thinking about Jim Boeheim has one, Tom Izzo has one, Bill Self has one, on and on. John Calipari has one. For the active guys, Jay Wright has two, and there's something to be said for being an X and knowing and going at it in March. We'll see how much that translates. All right. As I mentioned, you're in Chicago, George. You have to stand in here for the Big Ten, which had about 56 or 93 teams in the tournament, and now they have one. What happened to the Big Ten not being able to at least get a second or third team into the second weekend? I hate that I put you on the spot as the spokesman, but here you are, babe.
How do you spell the word choke in capital letters? I mean, honestly, to have nine teams and to have a number two seeds and a four go down before the Sweet 16, and there's only one left and a legitimate one in Michigan, It's hard to describe. Not only did they get beat, they had a couple of teams, four of them, they got soundly beat. Illinois was one of them. Iowa was dismantled. Hard to believe, but it's also a tournament now in which you have the highest seeds ever in the Sweet 16. The average, I believe, is just about six. That's the average seed. That's the highest in history. And that's because it is an odd year. Plus, they're playing in the bubble, and there's something to be said about that. It's an even court, and, you know, it's hard to explain that. Certainly, you would think that the Big Ten was overrated, but those were really good basketball teams that just didn't play well. And as Charles Barkley noted, and he's right, this ain't a 4 of 7. This is a 1 and out. And if you're having a bad day and the other team is having a good day, you can be gone. And that's exactly what happened to 8 Big Ten teams.
You're well put. And my hand is up for the audience that cannot see us. If you're only hearing us on the YouTube roundtable, I had Ohio State in the championship game in 3 different brackets.
Me too. So
I was horrified, Brother Grella, George Hoffman, and for the audience, that they could not get past Oral Roberts in that game. But that says more about what Oral Roberts, I guess, has been doing in March. They've got two of the best offensive weapons. How scary is this? Just while we digress for just a second on them. Oral Roberts has two of the best scorers in the tournament, and they shoot the ball really well. And those two scorers didn't score great or shoot the ball very well in either win over Ohio State or Florida. Now, that's a crazy 2021 thing to contemplate here for the NCAA tournament and for what happens. And I have no idea if Oral Roberts is going to be able to hang in there this weekend or not, but it's a harbinger. Again, that's a 15 seed that won a game. You have a 14 Abilene Christian that won a game, an all-time win over Texas of all teams. Their first NCAA tournament win ever is in the last seconds over Texas. It's incredible.
Notice,
George.
Notice Abilene Christian and Loyola have something in common. Loyola was number one in points allowed this year, and Abilene Christian was number two. Now, granted, they play in lesser conferences, but one of those teams stole a game, and the other team is in the Sweet 16. It does tell you a little bit about coaching, tells you a little bit about defense, too.
Listen to my man George Hoffman with the knowledge here on the stats and defense wins championships. We love all of this. Here as we circle around to it around March Madness. All right, so just a couple of more on this before we get rolling. Jonathan, of whom is left? We know, obviously, that you believe that Villanova should cut the nets down when it's all said and done.
Should.
But can we look at Gonzaga? Can we look at Baylor, Alabama, Michigan, and say for sure it's going to be one of them and not a Loyola Chicago, and not an Oregon State, and not somebody else in this wacky year? What say you, Jonathan Grella?
I mean, I personally believe it's Gonzaga, Baylor, or Michigan. They seem to be a cut above this year. That said, if Nova can shock the world this weekend on Saturday, there was that stat about how, you know, Nova, if they make it to pass the round of 32 into 16, that they go all the way under Jay Wright. Who knows? If Nova can beat Baylor this weekend, then you've got the winner of Arkansas versus Oral Roberts, which would be great. So, hey, teams that have been there and that have had March success are the ones that people fear. And Jay Wright knows how to get his guys to treat it like a business trip. So we're excited about that. And we'll see what happens. It should be a medium track meet. You know, Nova doesn't play very much up tempo, but they can go on a heater and rip off a bunch of threes. In fact, they had like something like 8 or 9 guys hit a three in the last game, different guys. We'll see what happens. Right now we're getting, I guess, 6.5. Yeah, I did my homework.
So on this podcast, Three Dog Thursday, we have to take a strong look at Villanova and those points against Baylor and Scott Drew with all the weapons. But yeah, that's good. On the
if you took Winthrop in the first round, you're not allowed to take Nova anymore. You're
but
out.
That includes my son. That's 500,000 people that took Winthrop in the first round. Everybody had that. You gotta. I mean, you gotta allow for that because
that's
Villanova.
That's what you get for listening to Seth Davis.
Take a stab right at Seth Davis of The Athletic and CBS Sports on that.
Beat
George, same question to you. Do you believe this is Gonzaga's to lose a one seed like Baylor or Michigan, or are we in for a buckle up, lookout Final Four that could have two upstarts and one of them finds a way to win it? Speculate for me.
I still like chalk, always have, and you're usually going to get that in a Final Four. Gonzaga has played terrific. They score a ton of points. They've been that way all the time. They've never gone all the way. They look like they have the team. And I remember the last one that won. You know, how old was I? I was in my 20s when Bobby Knight and the Hoosiers were winners in 1976. It's amazing to think that it's been that long that a team went undefeated in a season. And in 76, they only played, how many teams were in the tournament? 32. There weren't, they didn't go to 64 until what, 1985. So it's a tougher road to get there. Honestly, there's no question that these teams are a cut above. There's also no question this has been a topsy-turvy NCAA tournament. I am not about to sit here and make a bracket for the Sweet 16. There's just no way in the world any one of these teams right now can shock you. I still like Gonzaga. I also like Michigan. They're playing really well right now. They've got a great coach, Juwan Howard. But I'm telling you, Billy, you can almost flip a coin in this one.
And Juwan Howard with Phil Martelli, the St. Joe's coach, who's won over 500 games in his career on that bench to X and O. That's
the does that help?
Flying the flag for the Big Ten, and can they get Isaiah Livers back? We'll find out. But then again, a team like Oregon State, I mean, the coach, Wayne Tinkle, and we cannot say that name without laughing. Wayne Tinkle was practically fired 3 weeks ago, and he's now in the Sweet 16 playing against Loyola for a shot at the Elite Eight.
McDermott is another one who could have gotten fired and may still.
And may still before it's over, but the more he wins, the harder that becomes too on that part of the equation. So again, tons and tons on the NCAA tournament. You can't go wrong here. And I'm glad that we've gotten here. I keep saying this on all the different shows, et cetera. There were a lot of naysayers, a lot of fear mongers, a lot of people that were in hysterics about even trying this. Again, we've gotten here. We've gotten there safely. Let's get the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight played and get into a Final Four, because America by the tens of millions is watching this and needs this. It's a welcome distraction for everything going on. Let me plug for my guys once more as we rock along on Three Dog Thursday with Jonathan Grella and with George Offman. And we see George Offman right here. Look at that smiling face on social media. Find him at George Offman. If you're only hearing us, go find him on social media, George Offman. The great new podcast is Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. And my goodness, does this man have some great guests with a Chicago kind of theme in and around sports media telling him some stories. Go find it on Apple Podcasts. Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. But to give you an example, you're talking with a Chicago sportscasting legend that's in a bit of a controversy right now, Mark Giangreco. He is the latest guest on the podcast. I'm showing that to the YouTube audience right now. But the laundry list of guys and gals that you have had and that you will have, I'm going to show a couple of more of those to the audience. I think almost everybody has heard the name Mike Greenberg of ESPN.
I hope so.
Great 30 to 40 minute podcast with George. Tell Me a Story I Don't Know on that one. The likes of Michael Wilbon still to come. You're going to talk with Marv Albert. You've had Bob Costas. Tell Me a Story I Don't Know. One more plug, George. It is fantastic that you're getting to talk to these different guys. And again, most of the time it's different things about their careers, the stories. That's the idea that the public hasn't heard, right?
No, and it's really great, because once you turn on the faucet, it flows for all these guys. They start to talk, and it's amazing some of the things that they will say. And we have quite a few more that are being interviewed as I speak, lined up. Kevin Harlan, Laura Oakman, Sarah Kustak. She's going to be on, I think, next week, and she's wonderful, and she has a great connection to Chicago. And now she's sitting there with the team that could win the NBA Finals in the Brooklyn Nets. So it has been a lot of fun. You've played a nice role in that, and I really appreciate it. But it's a real joy to talk to these people. And, when you've made connections over 47 years, you dial up a number and you say, hey, can you do this? And pretty much everybody has said yes. So I really appreciate that they're doing it.
Again, baseball coming. You got Steve Stone. You mentioned Sarah Kustak all over the place. Dave Wannstedt with connections to Chicago. Tell me a story I don't know. If you're only hearing us, find that podcast. Tell me a story I don't know and find George's Twitter. Jonathan Grella, I love his insight. Follow him right here on social media at Jonathan Grella. JAG Public Affairs is his PR shop in the Washington, D.C. area. He would love you to know that Washington Nationals baseball season is about to get underway. The Nats, right, Jonathan? You're all fired up about them in the D.C. area, correct?
Yeah, baby. An embarrassment of championships for my teams in recent years, at least most of them.
Yes,
but plug away, TJ.
Not the New York Jets, but you'll take the Nats, you'll take the Capitals. Used to work for the Buccaneers. We got a title. Politics of Sport, Sport of Politics is also a podcast where you can find Jonathan and Jeff Embler. Find them right here on screen on Apple Podcast. Politics of Sports, Pause Pod, Politics of Sport, Sport of Politics podcast. I'm showing that to the YouTube audience as well. And I also love Daily Malarkey. Find the Daily Malarkey. DailyMalarkey.com. Get on their subscription list. I love the snarkiness, the humor of Daily Malarkey. You're not
Thank
full
you.
Of malarkey, but you do have some Daily Malarkey that we want to talk about.
Our skill is in pointing out the malarkey and using some snark brevity to shine a light on things like cancel culture and just the topsy-turvy world we live in. So please check us out at Daily Malarkey and DailyMalarkey.com.
I love that.
We're having a lot of fun. 4 o'clock every day. You get one nugget of snark brevity, hot and fresh out the kitchen.
And just like
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There's a lot of connections for the Washington Nationals and Chicago. Davey Martinez, who is a wonderful guy. And I covered Davey Martinez as a player and as an assistant, you know, with Joe Maddon. Mm-hmm. Mike Rizzo, who's from Chicago, whose dad was a wonderful human being. Gosh, I loved watching. He was a scout and was around until he was 90 plus. A great guy. You have Kyle Schwarber. Yep. You have John Lester.
Yep.
Hey, I could tell me a story I don't know with the Washington Nationals.
I would love that. I'll tell you a story that I know about the Chicago Bulls. I grew up in New York as a Bulls fan because I loved Jordan and I hated Patrick Ewing and the Knicks. Well, I was in Chicago a couple summers ago and I saw Bill Cartwright about four blocks ahead of me, but he's so tall that I could tell it was him. So I was with my family and I'm like, pick up the pace. And I go to catch up to Cartwright and I say, the man in the middle, Bill Cartwright. And he looks at me like, hey. And I was like, oh, you know.
Like he doesn't hear it. But Jonathan, like this he doesn't hear it every day of his life. He hears the man in the middle.
Right.
And if he only knew that I used to emulate his crazy free throw form.
I love all that. I just want to let you know, while you guys are talking National League Baseball, I do have over my shoulder on the YouTube roundtable, the defending American League champions are the Tampa Bay Rays. And so baseball season, actually, forget about the Yankees, forget about the Astros or anything else in the American League. It revolves around Tampa Bay and the defending American League champions when it all comes to it. Listen, one more time, Jonathan Grella, thank you. Good luck to Villanova. I appreciate you hopping on the YouTube roundtable, sir. Great stuff.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you guys.
George Offman, keep knocking them dead with Tell Me a Story I Don't Know, the podcast and the Chicago media. Loyola Chicago flying the flag for the state of Illinois. We love that for the Sweet 16 this weekend. Thank you, George. Great stuff, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks, boys. Nice talking to you.
It's always good to be with these guys. We will rock on the Three Dog Thursday podcast. Indeed. Back in once more with senior handicapper from Vegas Insider, MajorWager.com. Love the insight of Brian Edwards as we head to the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. A reminder again, the games are not until Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, Sunday night. It is not the typical Thursday night, Friday night in prime time that we have them unfolding. It'll be a little different for the television ratings for that reason, too, because a couple of the power pack games.
How they stand alone. Normally on Thursday and Friday night, you know, I mean, they normally put them like, an hour apart, 45 minutes apart. But you're watching one and you're wishing you weren't missing a play on the other. So
very true. So it is some good and bad.
How they're also.
Yeah, like both of those. So let's see how it does play that way, because again, they're taking an extra day or two here for COVID testing and making sure. And then again, it's going to end on Tuesday as opposed to Sunday before a Final Four on Saturday, but you're at the same locale. You're in Indianapolis. you know, literally walking distance from Lucas Oil Stadium and from Bankers Life Coliseum where the Pacers play, to be able to get back to your hotel, et cetera. It's easier for all of this in this wild 2021 unprecedented tournament that they're playing. Okay, so we laid out with you back at the beginning in the opening segment, maybe some hints, some breadcrumbs on what you might like. In fact, in game number one, Loyola Chicago, Oregon State, you kind of laid out some of the seeding and some of the numbers. We were talking about that. The Beavers are an attractive team here. You're attracted to them a little bit, are you not?
Yeah, I'm taking them plus the seven. At the risk of repeating myself, I'll throw those numbers out again. They are 17-3-1 against the spread in their last 21 games. They've won 9 of their last 11 outright. They've won 5 in a row outright, wow, all over tourney teams. And then as an underdog, 11-1 against the spread with 8 outright wins, last 12 such spots. And in their last 18 as dogs, the Beavers are 15-3 against the spread with 11 outright wins. I will be on Oregon State plus 7.
Well, and again, Ethan Thompson, the guard, has been shooting outstanding. And
I remember his daddy, don't you?
Yeah. Well,
Ethan Thompson at Syracuse?
Yes. Ethan Thompson. Yes. And so, you know, and then you've got Alishi, if I say that name correctly, in the middle, that's got great size. He's going to battle Krutwig down low. They have come to life. They found something and it continued. Unfortunately for Georgetown, who I had last week on Three Dog Thursday, the magic, as you know, Brian, and everybody knows now, didn't continue. But Oregon State picked up right where they left off in Las Vegas with making 3-point shots, spreading the floor, playing with confidence. So look out, either a 12 or an 8 gets into the NCAA tournament here, gets into the Elite Eight, whoever wins that game right out of the box. All right, so there is one underdog that you like. Give me another one that you like also from Saturday and why, Brian Edwards.
Well, my favorite one is Syracuse. I like them to win outright. I got them at plus 235 on the money line. Right when the line became available, you could still get it probably around plus 220. And I bet it plus 6.5. It's down to 6 now. You know, Houston was extremely fortunate to survive. They had to go on a 14-2 run to close out the game just to barely nip Rutgers 63-60 as Rutgers' ineptitude offensively reared its ugly head once again in the last few minutes of that ball game. But Syracuse is on fire in recent weeks. They've won 5 of its last 6. They're 6-0 against the spread. The only loss, the buzzer beater to Virginia, to lose by 3. Boeheim is 16-6 in his last 22 tournament games. He took a double-digit seed to the 2016 Final Four. You know, I mentioned how hot, you know, Boeheim is from three-point land and his scoring. I just like what I saw out of Syracuse. And how about this number as well? Boeheim in his 20th Sweet 16. What a career that man has had.
Yeah, it is incredible. And again, and I've said this in other places, we'll say it again here. There are a few guarantees in life, death, taxes, Brian Edwards from the foul line, et cetera, a few guarantees in life. But the Houston defense will be all over the Syracuse three-point line, especially early in this game. And Kelvin Sampson is too good a coach, and he's got athletic defenders. Do not leave them. Do not leave them even for dribble penetration. Let them dribble penetrate. Take your chances with maybe trailing and blocking a shot or them missing the layup, because until they prove that they can go by you some and burn you with that, you cannot leave the three-point shooters that they kept destroying San Diego State and West Virginia with, because it's multiple guys besides Buddy Boeheim, right, that are doing it. So I think Houston will make that adjustment. And I'm glad, as I've said, and we'll repeat here, and I put it on social media, that the Travell Mark, I believe is how you say it, is the kid that hit the half-court shot to beat Memphis at the end of the regular season. I'm glad he broke somebody else's heart, because he's the guy that got the putback and the and one in the final seconds to beat Rutgers on the great shot and the great comeback down the stretch. And again, Kelvin Sampson's been in the Final Four with Oklahoma. He's been in the NCAA tournament before with Washington State and with Indiana. So he's got a lot of different experience in the tournament. That's a great X and O matchup. on that one. And we are also taking a look at Oral Roberts as a significant doggy with Arkansas. You mentioned the drought for them in the Sweet 16 back at the beginning of the program. Oral Roberts, am I correct, is one of two double-figure underdogs, and they're getting 11.5 in this one. Is this just, again, is this Vegas not believing in them with the way they've played down the stretch? And Asmus, the shooting guard, is outstanding, even at a smaller size. Is that disrespect at 11.5 when they beat Ohio State and Florida? Is that too high?
Well, I think it's too high, and I'm going to be on Oral Roberts, which went to Bud Walton Arena on December 20th and actually led at halftime by double digits. They had a 40-30 lead at halftime. Unfortunately, and this probably plays a little into why we have such a high line, they are undersized, and they got absolutely annihilated on the glass that night in Fayetteville, to the tune of 54-29. Arkansas wow. out-rebounded them, and Arkansas had 23 offensive rebounds. So they erased that 10-point halftime deficit, and it ended up winning 87-76, but that's only by 11, and that was in Fayetteville. That was as 19.5-point dogs. So Oral Roberts, they have, as I'm looking for my underdog stats. Oh, yeah, here we go. They are 11-3 against the spread with 6 outright wins in 14 games as an underdog this year. And the Golden Eagles have been double-digit underdogs 6 times, and they've gone 5-1 against the spread with 1 outright victory. So I like Oral Roberts. Asmus leads the nation in scoring, and my guy Obinor.
Yep.
Oh my gosh, he was terrific against the Gators. Those two guys are elite players. Those two guys might play in the NBA.
Haven't shot it spectacularly well in either game, Oral Roberts, and yet they've gotten it done. And by the way, they got clobbered on the boards in both of those games. Ohio State out-rebounded them 49-32 in the first game, and Oral Roberts won in overtime, as we know. And Florida out-rebounded them 37-24 on the glass in game two, and it didn't matter. Oral Roberts won that game as well. Let's see if they can make up that difference.
My Gators shot better than 55% from the field and lost.
Well, and that 20 turnovers.
That'll do
it. And they're a team that is excellent on the defensive end as well, as another way to make up for that. All right, a few moments left. I'm not as attracted. If I had to pin down one underdog that I really like from Saturday, it would probably be Oral Roberts taking that big of a number against Arkansas. Remember, this is an Arkansas team that was down by 14 points to Colgate in the first half. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. But late in the first half, they were down, and it was a game that could have gone either way with Texas Tech. I think Oral Roberts could probably keep it close in that game. The game that I'm going to point to is Oregon and Southern Cal, and at most places it's 2.5, Oregon getting the 2.5. I know Southern Cal shot the lights out, 15 three-pointers made against Kansas in the game at Hinkle Fieldhouse back on the weekend in round number 2. But I think Oregon has got familiarity. The coaches, obviously Dana Altman and Andy Enfield, with familiarity. I know I am bucking a trend. Brian Edwards, are you aware of the Andy Enfield stat? Florida Gulf Coast and USC combined. Are you aware of this stat for Andy Enfield in the NCAA tournament?
Nine
for nine against the number. 9 for 9 is Andy Enfield. Feel free to use that on MajorWager.com and Vegas Insider. Florida Gulf Coast.
Covered against my Gators? I was at that game against Dunk City.
Covered against the Gators with Dunk City. They did cover 9 for 9 against the spread. They were the underdog against Kansas. They're the favorite here. So I'm going against that trend by taking Oregon for the outright win against USC. And it bears mentioning again, even though they're from the same conference, they only played once in the regular season, did not play in the tournament. I'll take the Ducks here in that matchup on Sunday night for a spot in the Elite Eight. That's the underdog that I like. Do you have another one on Sunday out of that group that stands out at all? I know we haven't talked about Alabama. UCLA getting 6.5 with Alabama in that matchup. Gonzaga laying 13.5 with Creighton, and Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite with Florida State. Any of that attractive at all, or anything else?
No, I like how Bama's playing right now. I mean, obviously UCLA, I mean, three W's. I'm very happy for Mick Cronin. In fact, I think this is only his second time in the Sweet 16, and he's been in the tournament a bunch. So I love Cronin. I used to bet Cincinnati unders religiously and very successfully. So I've loved him forever. I think Alabama's going to win that game, whether they cover or not, we shall see. You know where I'm at on the Noles, and I'm scared to fade Gonzaga.
Yeah, no.
Back to your Oregon, obviously, they're in revenge mode. And by the way, Dan, I don't have the exact numbers, but Dana Altman has been a monster in the tournament as well. But when they played, now granted it was at USC in LA, it was 43-22 USC at halftime. They ended up with a 39-25 rebounding advantage in that game. They won 72-58 as a 3.5-point favorite, but that was February 22nd. It's March now. Doesn't matter. Oregon's got revenge angle, but I just point that out nonetheless. USC's guards played well last week, and they don't have to play great. Just don't mess it up. Don't turn it over too much. I'm probably passing on that game, man. I like how Oregon and USC both looked to me last weekend.
All right. So again, that's the one that I would take the strongest look at would be the Oregon matchup there with USC. Alabama, back to them. I know you got the text message from me, as did many others. I was putting it on social media too. You and I love this, going back to Loyola Marymount of 1990, when Alabama put that scoring run on Maryland, where they were blitzing them at warp speed with the threes, the turnovers, the fast break. That is the closest thing that we have seen to Loyola Marymount. That's the way Nate Oates wants to play most of the time. And my gosh, did they have it going, Brian. And that's what UCLA's got to fear too. They're a little more of a grinded out team. They can score some, but they've got to fear, with John Petty coming alive for that Bama-UCLA game, that they may get it rolling again just like that at some point.
Yeah, and Bama hadn't really had that great kind of shooting game in a while. Now, they had a couple against LSU during the regular season, not the one in Nashville, obviously. And that's the thing about them. They can win different ways. They can win with their defense, or if they have a hot shooting night from three. And they got Primo back against Maryland. He had missed three games since injuring his knee in the quarterfinals. I don't know that – I saw Jordan Bruner only played 2 minutes in that game against Maryland. I just don't know that he's back 100% healthy. But, you know, now he's had nearly a week, and you know, I would think he's getting better. I mean, he came back, what, like 3 weeks ago, I guess. But I like how Alabama's playing. I think we're going to see them and Gonzaga in the Natty semifinals, and I think that has the makings of the game of the tournament, perhaps.
Wow. All right. We look forward to it. And again, Petty is one of the top players in college basketball who had been in kind of a funk. But
he had,
man,
been slumping.
Did he come alive against Maryland? And that may be bad news for UCLA. I often like to say this, and you laugh when I do it. Some games you just look at and say, wrong place, wrong time. Maybe it's wrong place, wrong time for UCLA here with John Petty leading Alabama. We'll find out. Maybe UCLA does what they have done so far to Michigan State and to BYU, and then they beat the upstarts from Abilene Christian, smothered them in a great performance. And Mick Cronin making a lot of friends right now in Westwood with the way that they have won here in the last couple of weeks of this tournament. We have come to the end here on Three Dog Thursday. Again, we have a couple of extra days before the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight play out. And obviously we don't know the Elite Eight matchups, but Brian, you're going to have great information all the way through the weekend. Tell them how they find out more about you, your picks, where they can get them, et cetera.
Yeah. My Twitter handle is @Vegas. B. Edwards. I've got a Sweet 16 primer written on the homepage of majorwager.com that really dives into, I mean, not super deep on all eight games, but there's mention and lots of trends, like the overs hit in eight straight for Oregon. And I tweet from Major Wager's account as well, @MajorWagerUno on Twitter. And all my picks are available at VegasInsider.com as well.
Well, we love all of this about you. And again, when we come their way next week, we will know the Final Four, and it will be fresh because, again, the schedule is different this year with all of it in Indianapolis, and they're taking a little extra time for this week to make sure on COVID health for these teams. They're going to play the Elite Eight games Monday night and Tuesday night. So that'll be fresh for us when we come back for Three Dog Thursday and get ready to talk Final Four. Look forward to it, my friend. Good luck with the underdog picks. If we've learned anything, there are going to be a couple of upsets, and maybe we're looking at a bloodbath for the higher seeded teams. I don't know. I just can't wait to watch it. Brian, thank you.
My man, appreciate you having me, and enjoy the games. Have a great weekend.
There is Brian Edwards. My thanks also to our YouTube roundtable, Jonathan Grella and George Offman with me talking college hoops. Again, subscribe to the podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts. Wherever you get your podcasts, find the YouTube roundtable, obviously on the Three Dog Thursday YouTube roundtable page. For now, we are done. Enjoy all the games, and thanks for being with us on Three Dog Thursday. Bye.